This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, I'm Lee Chui Lin, along with Uma Baganampike Bagan. This is the evening edition, and for our final story of the day, you may have seen this making headlines. So the Shah Alam City Council, responding to a royal decree, have began dismantling road signs that were both in Malay and Chinese languages in the city. And they've done so not just because of the royal decree, although certainly primarily to do with that, but also because there was kind of a surprising, at least for me, amount of outcry over the fact that there were these bilingual, trilingual road signs going up, even though they still said Jalan so-and-so.
Yeah.
They also had the same words written in Chinese, right? And that seemed to upset some people.
Yes. So, I mean, I don't think I have a problem with changing road signs to BM. It is the official language and all of that stuff. I have a problem with idiots responding to a royal decree by taking it upon themselves to deface road signs, by suddenly getting outraged at something that's been there for the longest time and going, what? This happens?
I mean, there is that, but there's also, I don't understand, I do and I don't understand where this is coming from, because there's still Malay on the signs. You know, it's still going to be most quickly read and understood in that, unless you are somebody who happens to read Chinese script and that helps you. I mean, if it doesn't seem to be harming anybody. It seems to only be helping us make a little bit more sense of Malaysian roads, which are, at the best of times, kind of a trying act. So, I'm just not sure I'm getting the big hoo-ha over this.
I just think it goes back to people feeling cornered. And I think it speaks to this issue. It speaks to the Eddie Rajang issue. It speaks to a lot of things that have been happening ever since May the 9th or May the 10th, right? There is a certain minority, albeit a vocal minority, that believe that, oh, you know what? These are the things that are at risk of being taken away from me. You know, you guys are talking about ICERD. What does that mean? And so this is their way of lashing out. I mean, I don't think it's got anything to do with the royal decree. I think if anything, that was a trigger to people to go, wait, you mean there are multilingual signs? How dare they?
I'm also bothered, to be honest, by the fact that
Lim Guan Eng is taking over the country, is what they're thinking.
Yes, not that. You sound like you're completing my sentence, which is not what I was going to say. I'm most bothered by the fact that we are so fortunate in Malaysia to have more languages available to us to learn easily, because we're surrounded by people speaking those languages. And the fact that
you get complete immersion.
The fact that there are some people, hopefully a minority, who seem to be saying, no, at all costs, I refuse to acknowledge any other language. I only want this because... And the reason for that being the majority of people living in this area speak and read Malay, therefore it should just be Malay. That's fine. But I don't think it was hurting anybody to include Chinese. I don't think it's hurting anybody to have a little bit more exposure to other languages, simply because, for goodness sake, it is one of the best things about our country. We talk about our food a lot, but we should certainly be speaking about our language as well.
You hurt yourself. That's who you hurt.
That's how I feel. I don't know. I mean, okay, we're crossing over now to Ahmad Fuad Rahmat, host of Night School on BFM. Fuad, thank you for joining us. Now, there's no question here on the status of the Malay language being the national language of the country. So why do you think people are now having issues with things like how big the Mandarin font is compared to the Bahasa font on the signs, or why Mandarin is being placed on top of Bahasa and so on?
I guess more than the fact that people are unhappy about that is why the state is responsive and very efficiently so. I mean, people are unhappy about all sorts of different things online, but the fact that the action was quickly taken is, I think, indicative of a recognition that there are insecurities and that the insecurities are, you know, taken very seriously. So I think that's a very telling indicator of where things are. And it's interesting, too, that the new government isn't really, how would you say, responding to these issues, or at least not forthrightly. And I don't know if they should necessarily, but it does leave the discourse to be dominated by only the conservative or nationalist segment of the Malay population, you know. So I guess we can contextualize it in light of the absence of AMNO in government now as sort of the bastion of protection for Malay rights, but also a rather lukewarm and lackluster response from the current government to sort of steer the debate in a different way, you know, to speak to those insecurities without necessarily brushing them aside. So I think those two factors just contributes to the growing sense of restlessness.
Fuad, have you seen an increased level of anxiety about Malay identity post-GE14?
I think anxieties have definitely increased over the past 6 months, largely because AMNO is no longer in power. The sense is that the leadership would not really be attentive or would not really assure continued Malay presence in the government and policy making, at least in the conservative sense of the word. So definitely you can sense like a palpable anxiety over what will happen to, you know, the Malay agenda. Granted, too, back then, AMNO, you know, the perception was that AMNO will often just pay lip service to these conservative issues without actually making serious implementations in support of them. But at least there was presence at the highest level of power. Right now, especially after 6 months of the new Malaysia, it's quite clear that it's no longer going in that direction. And the placeholder for Malay nationalist conservative sentiment is no longer there. So the discontent is just pervading the political atmosphere, and people have more occasion to feel uncertain and apprehensive with regards to where Malay culture will go from here.
So back to this issue of language itself, what does the primacy of language signify to society? I mean, why is it important for some languages to have that kind of recognition or to be recognized over another?
Language has often been the mainstay of nationalism and nation building. So the formation of a country requires that everybody can come to a consensus on who they are. And the main vehicle to reach that consensus, and in fact the main, organizing focal point for that consensus has always been language, because it's such a foundation and such a building block for the more, complicated process of building a country. So whoever gets to control the language that is spoken, in a lot of ways controls the direction that society can take. So this is why it's such a battleground. So the institutionalization of language, what can be said where and how and who can use what word, becomes a tool to ensure that society takes a certain form. And especially for a country like Malaysia, where the Malay majority is now without political representation, or rather of the nationalist kind, and that the future seems uncertain, the language becomes more and more of a contested terrain.
Is there any significance to the fact that this matter received royal attention?
I think the fact that this issue got royal attention is very significant, but more than that is the timing. The action and the decision taken was very, very immediate, and this signals the seriousness of the matter. And I think people are going to be reading into this issue with that in mind, that this is not just an issue that's been talked about for decades, but that the Sultan stepped in and made a decision to send a signal to everybody observing.
But the fact is that multilingualism is something that's prized today. I mean, are we losing out when we choose to use only one language?
Yes, I think we are losing out when we prioritize one language over others, especially when Malaysia is just language rich. We have
an immense diversity, and in that, different linguistic expressions, you know. The question here is what languages are more suited for practical purposes, but of course also for institutionalization, you know. Early on in the shaping of the nation, there were concerns over whether or not Malay, which is largely a lingua franca that grew because of its more informal structures, is very easy to get. There are very few minimal tenses, and a lot of it is very contextual and tonal. So Bahasa thrived largely because it wasn't really an institutionalized language like Latin was, you know, or many other languages for that matter, nor is it very technical like German is, right? It's very easy to get, and that's one of the reasons why it expanded, you know. So every year you're going to encounter discussions on, you know, what new words to add into the canon and what other terms to borrow and stuff like that. And while, you know, we get funny things like swa foto, the fact that we constantly have to either invent word or borrow words shows that the established canon of vocabulary is always adapting. And that's part of the richness of Bahasa as well, that it is incorporated from so many different influences that it is very, very adaptable. So this is the irony behind how Bahasa is constantly politicized to become institutionalized. The fact of the matter is Bahasa is a great language because it has evolved and incorporated different elements because of its sort of inherent dynamism, you know, and that wanting to draw hard and fast boundaries over it is actually going against the spirit of the language. So that's one contradiction that's worth pointing out in how Bahasa has become such a battleground politically.
Fuad, thank you for sharing your perspective. That was Ahmad Fuad Rahmat. You can catch more of him on Night School Thursdays at 9 p.m. And I suppose the question that arises from this is, do you think we should be encouraging more multilingualism in the country? Or, you know, we often talk about focusing on Bahasa Malaysia as a way to unite us all. And I do think it is, and it works that way. But we also need to be asking whether or not we should be encouraging multilingualism. That's a hard one. Let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Should we be focusing on our national language, or should we be encouraging the use of all the different mother tongues that exist within Malaysia? Keep it here on the Evening Edition and message us. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.